Did you have the first legal bet in Louisiana is going to be Joe Horn in an Indian casino in Marksville taking a 7-game NFL moneyline parlay?
So do you think he knows his stuff? Or
do you think it's even a moneyline parlay? You think he just took them all against the spread too? What's up? Good evening. You're listening to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. I am your host, Billy Gunn, on this, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. And tonight, got a return guest. Man, I'm so excited to have with us this evening another legit handicapper, game-picking NFL wizard, and my good friend T, formerly from the Spread 'Em with T podcast. He joined us last year on a very memorable episode of Taking the Over, where we talked man versus tortoise wagering. And I listened to that pod again last night, and I've been doing a lot of research on that topic, the world's worst better. T-Man's with us tonight to talk some NFL and get weird. So T, what's up? Welcome back to Taking the Over. How's it going?
It's going great, Billy. It's great to be back. I know you mentioned formerly from the Spread 'Em with T podcast, which could not be more spot on. I did not get fired from the podcast because it was a podcast one. But I did decide not to do it this year just with time constraints, which is works out nicely because then I get more time to do things like this and join you.
Yeah. Oh, no, man, I'm excited. You know, I'm excited to have you and look forward to having you on a bunch more. I mean, you know NFL, you know, and you're a straightforward handicapper, and you're honest, and you're smart, and you're fun, and you know, I'm glad that we became friends, man. It was weird because we both had a podcast like in the same really narrow lane of niche, you know, like Saints fans and sports wagering go, you know. So it was cool to connect, and that's one of the cool things about podcasts is making new friends. You know, so I'm glad to have you here. We're gonna get a little weird tonight. Are you ready to get weird with me?
Yeah, no, I'm up for anything, and I figured by joining this podcast it was only gonna go in the strangest of directions.
Perfect. Well, I'm debuting a new segment tonight. It's called Bullet Points. Get it? That's a pun on my last name. It's so funny. Last time you were on the show, one of your listeners was like, that dude's name's not fucking Billy Gunn. I sent him a photo of my driver's license.
Yeah, you definitely, like, he fact-checked you on Twitter when fact-checking was still a thing for your own identity.
But yeah,
you
do have good.
A potentially, like, made-up name. It's very comic booky. Kind of reminds me of when Homer Simpson changed his name to Max Power.
Oh, yeah.
You're kind of in the same realm there.
Isn't Max Power a guy that, like, got in trouble for doing too hardcore of pornography?
I mean, yeah, it sounds like it could be a porn name for sure. So, I mean,
yeah, that's like a guy in Florida. Knowledge. Yeah, that's like a guy in Florida that does. I have a lot of knowledge. You know, went to the Saints game this past weekend. And, dude, it was the first time in my life I've ever been to a Saints game sober.
That's a milestone.
It was.
Extremely important milestone.
It took me a moment to figure it out.
I think I've probably never been to a Saints game sober other than when I was 13.
Right. Exactly.
Since I've been of age, it kind of makes you wonder, like, are the things you're hearing and seeing actually there? Or is it just the amount of alcohol you've consumed before just amplifying everything?
Right. Right. Exactly. I mean, it is weird, dude. It's the first time since I quit drinking that I've been around that many drunk people, you know, and it is interesting. And so it affirmed my sobriety from alcohol for a minute. I don't know. The renovations were interesting. The new Superdome renovations, man, I was excited to see those. I know you had already, you purchased tickets. This is, listeners, this is how dedicated of a Saints fan T is. He had tickets to the opener when it was going to be at home. And then he ended up calling an audible like the Saints, and he followed them to Jacksonville and went to the opener in Jacksonville. You know, so I was excited to see the new work that's been done to the Dome. And man, I came away from it, you know, I mean, it was an interesting experience watching the Saints lose to the Giants like that. And I mean, overall, we had a great fun time, but they did some things in the Superdome that pissed me off. Did you see the ground level end zone suites?
Yeah, they're right on the turf. It has like torn ACL written all over it from player running too far to the back of the end zone.
Sure. Because before that, it was like a big, you know, full size wall, like in the other end zone. And before
but with
that,
some padding, of course,
it was padding and it was raised too. Like these guys could, yeah, double over, you know, go
you make it seem like they're running into like the Wrigley Field center field wall out there. It's still pretty, it could be a hard collision, but how low are these new suites?
I mean, they're ground level. You see them. I mean, what did it look like on TV?
It looked like if you see like a baseball stadium where they have like those fenced in seating areas in like right field or in left field, it kind of looked like that level, but just with the more or less like tarp or padding in front of them.
From where I was sitting in the Dome, and also I did a little bit of a rewatch of the game on the broadcast afterwards. It disturbs me, those suites, those end zone ground level suites disturb me because of the fucking optics of it. You have all these, it's like any suite where they have seats in the front and then you mill around in the open area and the bar and all that in the back. So you've got maybe a dozen seats in each suite and all you see is like two people sitting in 12 seats, you know, and you see like just fat dudes in the back making business deals and shit. But like you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of like, if you've ever seen, in the last couple of years, wrestling fans will get this, and I'm a fan of like sports and business, and I'm a fan of the business of pro wrestling more than the actual product itself nowadays. Like the WWE signed this deal with the country of Saudi Arabia to do shows in Saudi Arabia every year, and they pay them like fucking $150 million or something. The fans, after the Saudis killed that journalist, the fans started calling it blood money. But they go over there and they put on like a WrestleMania scale event arenas. And the first fucking 10 rows, dude, are just like sheiks. These dudes are literally all in the white deal with the turban on and like sitting on couches, milling about, giving no shits at all about what's happening in front of them. That's what those end zone suites look like to me.
It's all the people who have no business actually being in a Saints game are at the best seats. If they're even that good of seats, because you can't even see across the field.
It's arguably not that good a seat, right?
Right.
But why would, I mean, it's horrible for optics. It looks like shit. It looks like shit on TV. You know, you had, before they did that, you had a taller wall that was padded, as you've pointed out, and rows of rabid fans going nuts when something happened in that end zone.
And now when you just have a dinner table.
Now you have people like taking fucking selfies of the touchdown happening in the background. If they were paying attention.
It looks like something where they set up like a pregame walk around the field setup, like a rolled out carpet, and then just forgot to take it and put it back away before the game started.
It's not good. Misspelling Morton Anderson's name wasn't good either.
That was an instant bad omen for that game. You knew they had no shot of winning once they did that.
Well, it was because I was there and I was going, wow, I really like how they've redone the Ring of Honor. And it's like, oh, they, you know, they had cool names. Each name had a floor to leave next to it, and it was all lit up, you know. And then I'm like, oh, Morton Anderson's is turned off. They just turned his lights off.
Just hide their mistake as quickly as possible.
Yeah, like that makes it better. They fucking turned his light off because they misspelled his name like the steakhouse rather than like the Danish kicker.
It's like when the Pope dies, white smoke comes up. It makes it seem like Morton like had died before the game, and they were like paying their respects with the Ring of Honor at half mast.
Yeah, that'd be really.
It really screwed up. But you know, with the way the season's going, it wouldn't put me past it just to add to the list of the crap they've dealt with.
I choose not to even. I don't even really like to talk like too much about what's wrong with the Saints. What's wrong with the Saints right now is they're still decimated. Like this could be a tale of two seasons. I hope. You know, but just the, and they took the ramps out, so people had trouble getting out the stairs. You know, da da da. I don't know, man. I like that they're spending money to renovate the Superdome. The Superdome is a gem. The Superdome, I was explaining to my daughter on the way there, is like it's the last of its generation. All the domes that were built in that generation, none of them are in use anymore. Most of them aren't standing. And I'm glad they're spending the money, but the decision making itself. And it's not like they even do something cool. Like if fucking Lenny Kravitz was sitting in the end zone, sweet, you know, doing cocaine with Rita Benson.
Yeah, that'd be an all-time combo.
Oh, they did. Well, that was the rumor around town. You probably
is
did.
It really?
Yeah, yeah. Rita. You remember Rita was in line to be the owner of the Saints. She fucked
right,
that
they're
up.
Still at home. I heard they're going to bring up the legal battle again.
That shit's done. They lost.
Gale I heard they're going to like do some last ditch effort now if Gale Benson potentially dies.
They throw all the fucking Hail Marys they want. Gale Benson is bulletproof, brother. That's not happening. That's not happening.
For the seats, I don't like them. It reminds me of like if you go like up by me, if you go to like a Mets game or a Yankees game or Rangers game, whatever it is, like and like a 5:30, like a seven o'clock weekday game, so everyone's getting out of work at 5:30. You always see the people there. No one wears the jerseys anymore. It's like suits, ties, just New York people out of the commuting out of the city going to the games. And it's just like not a good optic for like a playoff game.
No.
You want to be rabid and anything and have half the fans in suits, not in actual jerseys, team colors, what have you.
Dude, we should get one of those suites.
They keep reaching out. About just Pelican Suites. I bet
well,
I can suite
that's different. I'm trying to give one. Those away.
I'll trade you six Pelican Suites for the one Saint Suite.
Right. And then we could just, you know, round up all the characters in the Superdome. Like,
that's, you
round
need,
up
like, the Whistle
Master
Monster.
Chief, Whistle Monster, Master Chief. Dude, I don't know if you ever heard of the legend of Mousy. You ever heard of Mousy in the Superdome?
I haven't.
Dude, Mousy was this old white guy that in the third quarter, he'd come behind the south end zone, and he was wearing like shrimping boots and like no shirt and like or like a wife beater and overalls and some jean shorts, and he would like dance like a maniac, and it was like a big Superdome tradition, and I mean it went on for at least a decade. Like from my 20s and 30s going to Saints games, Mousy was always dancing in the end zone at the end of the third quarter. He's probably dead. I mean, it wasn't like sanctioned entertainment. It wasn't like the Superdome's putting this on. It was just this one guy and they let him do his thing and everybody fucking loved it.
I mean, that's a big question I've had in my Saints livelihood and fanhood is all of these super fans you see, and you mentioned a few, mm-hmm. Whistle Monster, and mm-hmm. you got the guy who dresses up like Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Joker. You got all of these characters that are super fans. They're at every game. Mm-hmm. Are they paid or given tickets by the team to be there? Or are they like true fans, you think?
They're fans. The Pope, because you see we used to have the Pope. Dude, when I was a kid, they had the Pope.
Right. And they still have the three Popes now. They travel with them too.
Okay.
And it's
but some of those people are listeners to this show, by the way.
Are they? So next guest, you have to have one of them to tell. I want a whole episode based on the lives of Saints super fans.
I don't.
You don't think it'll be entertaining?
No. I feel like I'd bang my head against the wall. I've met several of them. No. Whistle Monster smells bad, dude. Whistle Monster has a
Whistle
serious,
Monster. If you're listening, this was Billy Gunn saying that
serious body odor problem on Whistle Monster.
Well, he sleeps and showers in that costume. He doesn't get out of it.
He smells.
He's grown in, it's like morphed into his skin.
Smells bad. You ready to run through some games?
Sure, why not?
T is the Thursday Night King. Aren't you the Thursday Night King?
I proclaimed myself that last year after I won like 7 in a row. But this
year, I love that.
I'm at like a 3-1 clip so far in the first four. But these games are tougher this year. I don't know if that's just me, but I feel like betting this year has been significantly more difficult than last year.
I'm not doing well. I want to get a Ouija board to pick games. Like, I want to start picking games with a Ouija board.
I've keeping track of my bets on like a spreadsheet this year. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed from week one, I was like betting like 25 different things, like all jacked up. And it's gone progressively down the amount of games I've been picking throughout the rest of the weeks because I have no confidence.
Oh, right. Or when it fucking stings your ass. Yeah, I got to go see the other T-man tomorrow. Not you. Great Uncle T. This fucking unbelievable. I mean, I have so little confidence. I mean, it's so funny. Last week we talked about teasers and I jokingly called it the how can it look? And I had a friend who's not very adept at gambling, but like was like, yeah, teaser. And I had people like calling me and texting me like all week after that show going, hey, I want to do a teaser. And I'm like, no.
It's like watch the it new lose. Toy they get for Christmas. They just want to play with things. I've never heard of it before.
Watch it lose. I want you to watch it lose.
I don't know if you're into the
into
the TikTok. Do you watch TikToks?
I feel like I downloaded it about a year ago for fun.
There's
everybody drive me there.
A ton of gambling content creators now using TikTok as their platform, and it's like the little minute video burst. And there is this guy who is like avidly against teasers of any kind and has like a series just ripping on teasers and breaking it down into why it's like the worst bet you can make. Not to rain on your parade or anything, but do I trust you or do I trust this TikTok video creator who I've seen 7 videos by?
I mean, I agree with them. Teasers are fucking horrible. They're fun. They are, they're fun. And they're so accessible to the average gambler. And also, I like making one bet that's several games. You know, it keeps you invested for several games. If you're just from an entertainment value, it's almost more bang for your buck, but you're actually very likely to lose when you're going into it going, how can it? It's impossible.
I have a theory. It's people like teasers purely for like the control aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because feel like you're moving it more and you think it's like this irrational thought. You're like, oh, there's no way the Jets won't cover 9. As I've said many times in my life, and it's been proved wrong, but
how are the Jets going to cover 9?
Disregard that example, but it's this control concept in an otherwise uncontrollable game you're playing.
Here's the funniest ribbon on it all. The first legal sports bet was placed in the state of Louisiana today in Marksville at the Paragon Indian Casino, and it was placed by Joe Horn. And he placed a 7-game parlay.
So his first foray into legal gambling will be an immediate loss.
Fucking complete, total loser. Yes.
They should have like training wheels for new bettors. Like you can't bet parlays. You can't bet teasers. You have to bet the most favored team to buy.
Did you have that on the bingo card? Did you have the first legal bet in Louisiana is going to be Joe Horn in an Indian casino in Marksville taking a 7-game NFL moneyline parlay?
So do you think he knows his stuff?
Do you think it's even a moneyline parlay? You think he just took them all against the spread too?
You know, it's like you watch on Deion Sanders picks games weekly now, and he does it just straight up. No spreads, and he just basically picks every favorite and every home team every time.
Right. There's a whole you could fill a lot of space with people that do that out in the because it's everywhere now, dude. It's everywhere, and it's like I'm having a crisis of conscience about even having a fucking gambling show, and it's just inundating people's lives. In Colorado, I said this last week, that the people are writing their fucking congressman about it. Like, I'm sure you see the advertising in your market, right?
Hmm. Yeah, we were supposed to be legal tomorrow, but it is legalized. The apps were supposed to be up and running tomorrow. Thursday, October 7th.
They won't tell us what they won't tell us when anything. They're just like, surprise.
You would think they would hype it up more.
Yeah. Well, all these games are about to go over. Fuck, you may be able to bet on them Sunday on FanDuel. I don't know. No, for some reason it's the state, it's the public, you know, it's the government shit. Because you know, if FanDuel or DraftKings or Caesars found out that, yeah, on X day we're going to be legal in Louisiana, they'd start fucking telling you.
Yeah, they'd be posting it everywhere, getting everyone all hyped up.
The inundation of advertising would have begun. So maybe we should enjoy it. I've actually started embracing the fact that ours is delayed. And I was so excited for it to start. You're the Thursday night king. The LA Rams are traveling to Seattle. Rams, man, everybody had them as the top dogs after they beat the Bucks, and then they go and lose to Arizona last week. Well, they're still 2.5-point favorites on the road in Seattle on a short week. Total on this game is 54.5. Dude, you've got the Thursday night mojo. What do you think about this game?
So as of Wednesday, 90% of money and handle is all on the Rams, with bets at 81% on the Rams. So the public and the big money are both hammering the Rams pretty heavily. Historically, that is something we want to fade. We want to fade the public, even though the money's there, because it's just like an NFL kind of proven tradition and proven winning strategies. You fade the public, you win in the NFL. This year, that's not happening at all.
Yeah.
Just from the first 4 weeks, the teams that are being backed are covering just as much, if not more, than average. So it's not this traditional thing. So with that, both these teams are like 1 or 1 and 2, I think, in like DVOA, whatever the adjusted offensive ratings, whatever it is, or OVOA. Mm-hmm. So they're both competent offenses. They're going to put up a lot of points. But I think the Rams cover the field goal. Seahawks almost lost the game against the 49ers last week. They only won because they had 4 turnovers. They were outgained on offense by the Niners. So I think that's kind of the, and this is like an overreaction line, because the Rams really should be favored by 5, 6, maybe even 7. So I'm going to take the Rams covering the field goal.
I think that's a wise move.
I don't love the over.
I don't either. 54.5. I don't really love any overs this year, because I feel like the presence of fans back in stadiums and the presence of sellout, that's favoring defenses. And yeah, I think we're seeing it. I think we're seeing a lot more pre-snap penalties than we saw last year. I think we're seeing a lot of communication problems, obviously, amongst linemen on offense. And I think that overall, I think crowd helps defense. Defense lowers scores. I think that's why we're seeing a disproportionate amount of unders this year. Yeah, I really do. And the overs are really only hitting in these primetime games. You know, I read some stats last week about the over in the primetime game. I'm not fucking with totals, dude. I can't. The thought of it makes me sick right now.
There's a real totals. Fun one on Sunday that we can get into.
I think I see it. Yeah.
Preseason total, but
right.
Every team on Thursday this year, the road team is covered, whether they're the favorite or dog, all 4 games. Which I don't know if there's any credence to that, but I'm going to keep riding with that too, as I mentioned, with the Rams. It's under the field goal. I think it's the only value play here. Do you really feel confident in the Seahawks covering a field goal when the line should really be like 6 or 7? Vegas right. knows something. I think you got to go Rams.
But the public's all over the Rams, right?
As of Wednesday, it was like 81% of bets were on the Rams and 90% of the money, which is
the only thing that scares me. I don't know. You like the Rams. I'd lean that way before I'd go with Seattle.
I think you mentioned it too, like the inundation with gambling, not only content, but actual new gamblers. I think the old like rules, I'll call them, where you would really kind of overanalyze Vegas's thought process before making a pick. I feel like that's kind of out the window now, because they have this whole new population of gamblers that would never think that.
Right.
And then make some money enough just there where they're not going to adjust it. They're going to do whatever they can get the most sucker action. But still, I think it's the Rams.
Do you think the masses are smarter now? because it's more accessible, do you think it leads to a smarter customer?
I think it leads to a lot of like fake tough guys in terms of like pumping their knowledge when they talk to their other buddies at the bar about what they know about this, about that, about this line. You know, I don't think people actually understand. I think it's a kind of a new like showboating right. act to be like, right. I'm a good gambler. I'm a sharp right. gambler.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Everybody's a tout. Everybody goes to that tout stage.
It's like you see it on Twitter all the time too with these accounts that have like they lose 8 units in a day. And like, we're going to bounce back. We're better than that. Like, I don't understand your goal here. Are you trying to get more subscriptions by just pumping up these fake promises? I don't. It's like no one truly posts their real records either, which really bugs me.
Very few people do. All right. That's what I like about you. That's what Ben the Better said. He admired that about me.
Wow, that's coming from a very respectable member of the community.
That's right. Everyone admires and respects Ben. The New York Jets are traveling to London along with the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are burning a home game in London. My young friend Ben is very excited about this game. I talked to him this morning, and he is going to the game. He lives about an hour. He's taking the train, and he's bringing a 28-3 sign that he's going to post in the end zone, he says. It's at the Tottenham Stadium in London. The Falcons are a 3-point London home favorite over the Jets. Total on this game is 46.5. But if you... that same tout mentality that you're describing that exists in the gambling Twitter and elsewhere, bar rooms, wherever you go. Bro, if you tell me you can fucking read this game, you tell me you got a strong opinion on this game, we can't be friends.
I think I have a good read.
Oh, fuck.
It.
Don't tell me you got a good read.
I actually do feel pretty good about this one. I flip-flopped a bit early on when looking at it, but 82% of money is on the Jets. And just about a little over half of the bets are on the Falcons, or on the Jets, excuse me. It's closer to about 50-50 for the bets. And in terms of like offensive versus defensive ratings and rankings, what have you, the Jets' defense has an advantage over the Falcons' offense. Falcons offense has been pretty much anemic, and the Jets defense has been slightly improving each week, I'll say, to be kind. In terms of the Jets offense versus the Falcons defense, they're pretty much exactly right in the middle of the road. No real advantage there. So in that kind of defense versus wash, I think you got to go with the points in a close game. And the Falcons notoriously always find ways to lose no matter what. That's one thing that's like, you can be sure of in this game, that there should be some mismanaged situation at the end where the game falls at 3 or under 3. Take the points.
My cat's been betting on the Falcons. He's been winning bets on the Falcons.
Jeez.
I would never bet on the Falcons, personally. I would never pick the Falcons. I would never bet on the Falcons. So I admire you for taking the Jets.
You know what? Where I live, there's a lot of Jets fans, and you almost start to develop like a sympathy for them where it's like, I feel like I'm supporting them by betting on the Jets. Like, they're not that bad, but I know in my heart they're never going to cover. I just do it for like the charity good guy points.
Fucking Zach Wilson might just go, oh, I'm in London. Time to throw for 370 yards. You don't know.
That was my thought. Bro. I was like, oh, a rookie traveling to London. There's no way he's covering 3 points. And I was like, they're playing the Falcons. This has been such a strange year. This kid is going to break like the all-time international passing record in his first time there.
Are you going to bet on the Jets?
Yeah.
I've never done that. I don't think I've ever done that before. I'll do that.
I'm a notorious Jets bettor, and it isn't as bad as it seems.
It's not bad. You're a healthy financial guy. I mean, it hasn't killed you betting on the Jets.
No, I mean, I'm still here. It's funny as you watch how much the line spreads as the year goes on. Like, they'll be like 3-point favorites this week, but typically by like week 12, they're like a 14-point favorite against another bad team. So it just keeps going up and up. I think at one point they were 21-point underdogs last year against the Chiefs.
That's right. They were. I love that.
So if you just ride the Jets long enough, the spread will grow enough where it becomes valuable. It
starts coming back to you.
Yes. It's like getting the loyalty trade early. Like if you support the Jets on 3-point underdogs, you deserve to support the Jets at 14-point underdogs.
I'm with you on the Jets. I'll follow you on the Jets. I mean, and it's 8:30 Central Standard Time. I don't, it's like two, it's, it makes it 2:30 PM London time. We got a quadruple header on Sunday. How awesome is that? Cancel your plans. Right. Tell the new wife, no Bed Bath and Beyond today. There's a quadruple header going on.
She knows Sunday is off limits. I always wake up every Sunday and yell 11 free hours of commercial free football, whatever it is. Right. And she just rolls her eyes and knows. But we're going to be at a wedding this weekend, so we will be driving back Sunday. And
I love fall weddings.
We will be up and out of bed by 6 a.m. to make sure we're home to watch the Jets Falcons in London. Can't miss television.
This next game, man, this is one that I do have a strong read on this week, and this is definitely a bet that I'm going to make and lose. Tennessee traveling to Jacksonville. Jacksonville is 4.5-point home underdogs. Total on the game is 48.5. Kind of like you referenced, you think the Rams are undervalued on Thursday night because of their performance last week. I think the same thing's happening to Tennessee. For Tennessee to only be 4.5-point favorites in this game after the week that this franchise has had in Jacksonville confounds the mind. This is not a we're going to rally and go out and win one for the Gipper situation happening in Jacksonville. This is not that situation. I hope that Urban Meyer makes it to the end of the year. Because these are the stories that I like to watch in the NFL. When a coach is just complete fucking dog shit and done and dead in the water. What are they going to do? They're going to replace him with one of his bullshit assistants that he hired, that he brought in?
Yeah, it's like a
what are they going to do? They're stuck.
There's 12 Urban Meyers in one room. They'll just say whatever he says.
Right. There's a line he can't cross. There's a line he can't cross. He hasn't crossed it yet.
He's untouchable. He is, you know, I never really thought about
they paid him $12 million a year. By week three, they'd go, oh, fuck. And then he goes out and pulls this.
Yeah, I do want
Tennessee's the value, man. Tennessee, only 4.5 points here?
I don't like either side in this game for those reasons you mentioned. It's all the money and all the bets, like 90% each way, are on the Titans. So people are hammering them. I feel like Jacksonville could win this game outright.
Oh,
but that's also me overreacting to the Jets win. So I don't like to pick games where they have two teams coming off of very dramatic results where it could skew the lines. That adds a whole nother element into the picking aspect that you can just totally remove and not pick. I don't want to come on here and be passive and soft and not picking.
No,
any
I
games.
Want you to dude, please don't. I like what you're doing.
I mean, if I had to pick a side, I'd probably go Jacksonville in my private friends pick'em I do for no money, which is just like a high school thing. I'm going Jacksonville, but in the actual wallet padding business, I'm going to stay away and take the over instead at 49.
Oh, you like 49. Okay.
I think we saw how bad Tennessee's defense was last week when Zach Wilson's using his pointer finger, launching at 80 yards in double coverage.
Tennessee's defense is not good. It's a myth that their defense is good. Their defense is not, in fact, good. You're correct. I'm gonna go the opposite way. I'm going Tennessee. I just don't see. I see a 30-point game here. I see a 30-point game. Detroit is traveling to Minnesota. Good old NFC North matchup. Minnesota is a 9-point home favorite. Total on the game is 49.5. Dalvin Cook came out and said, I'm going to play. I don't care if I'm hurt, I'm going to play. And Kirk Cousins just, you look over there and, you know, it's the afternoon and you look over and Kirk Cousins has got 300 yards and two touchdowns and an interception, you know, every week.
That last week against the Browns, a game I kept looking at the scoreboard ticker and it was like 11-7 for 40
yeah,
straight
yeah.
minutes.
14-7 final, I believe, was that?
Yep.
Yeah. Last week's an aberration. I mean, the Vegas It's got this game damn near pegged at 50 between Detroit and Minnesota in the Minnesota Dome or whatever the fuck they call that a portion of a stadium. You ever been there?
I've only seen it on every Stephon Diggs highlight ever. That's been forced down my throat via Twitter and people trolling you online. So no, I've never seen it, just the inside from that angle.
If I had to go somewhere on this one, I'd go Detroit with the 9 points. I don't like anybody getting that many points over a division rival.
Yeah, I should have my own show on MTV called True Life. I'm addicted to betting on the Detroit Lions because I have bet on them every single week. I think I just, in my life, I've had this like infatuation with them for some reason, and it's carried over. I still have a Joey Harrington alternate black Detroit Lions jersey, which is probably the most embarrassing thing I've ever said out loud for people to hear. But I have just this crazy addiction to betting on the Lions. And with 9 points, I don't think Goff is that bad. I don't think the Vikings are that bad, but I think Dan Campbell has got to, at some point, like light a fire under their ass to get them going.
They've got some talent. They've got talent. Right. And they got a crazy coach. Some fake, one of those like fake Twitter accounts that's supposed to look real.
Say, that's what I was going to say.
The cocaine.
It was getting so many people. There was so many idiots like, oh my God, I can't believe he said this. How is this guy still a coach?
Yeah. Dan fucking Campbell. Do what you want.
It's like believable enough that people were retweeting it like genuinely.
Right. 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 You're leaning Detroit, huh? You're going to go all in with Joey Harrington jersey?
Yep, I always wear it every Thanksgiving. I swear it. That's how my parents.
I believe you, and I think that's awesome.
Parade's over. Time to strap on old Joey Harrington.
Yeah. The next game is Cleveland traveling to SoFi, where it's like the Chargers are squatters in SoFi. It's like SoFi belongs to the Rams, but the Chargers are just kind of like, they've got some kind of legal agreement that says they can be there.
I'm surprised they didn't name it like Rams Stadium, like when the Jets had to play a giant stadium.
Surprised
like
they named it "Fuck the Chargers Stadium."
Yeah, it's
it was empty, dude. It was empty for the Chargers. I felt so bad.
Derek Carr was ripping on him too. He goes, "There's always more Raiders fans at our road games here than there are actual Chargers fans."
All the seats you want, road team. Come on, when the Saints go to LA, I've reversed course. I was like, I don't want to go to that fucking game. I am going to LA. I'm going to SoFi. You know, there's gonna be tickets. They're probably not going to be that expensive, especially if you played the Chargers.
Yeah, it's well, you know, the fact that they're delaying games with lightning
on an indoor stadium. Inside. What the fuck is that all about?
I don't know. It must not be safely built. That's why no one goes.
Is the stadium not grounded properly? The fuck.
Every what seat comes with its own lightning rod. Yes. Yeah,
West Coast, bro. I like the Chargers in this game a lot. I like the Chargers in this game a lot. -2, totals 46.5. You don't, like I said, I'm scared of totals. I like Chargers -2 a lot.
Yeah. I do not. I like the Browns money line. And I'm not playing just fade Billy for fun. I truly think
we are now.
This is an overreaction again to last week with the Browns offense pretty much sputtering against the otherwise bad Vikings defense. If this were true, I think the line would be bigger if the Chargers were truly trusted here as the big favorite. So that's why 69%, a very nice percent of money is on the Browns. Like 54% of public bets are on the Chargers. So again, the sharps are on the Browns. I like the Browns to win the game outright. I think their defense is for real, and I think they're going to have a rebound offense performance from last week.
Fucking scaring me. God damn it.
You know,
I don't want to take the Browns.
You could don't flip-flop on my accord, because then I'd rather you stay afloat if I sink. And then, of course, if you sink, I'd love to stay afloat. But
okay. No, you know what? I put my faith and trust in the right shoulder and arm of Justin Herbert.
Good player. He's good.
He's fucking
now they're already
good.
Talking about he's top five quarterback potentially.
He's fucking knocking on the door, dude.
I think this is a Browns rebound game. again, Browns, only thing you see when you're watching a game on Sunday, you see the scoreboard of other games. No one's watching Browns, Vikings, but they see 13-7. All the Browns aren't that good.
Because that Browns defense is.
They only scored 13 points. They're not that good. Their defense is carrying them. And now you look at the Chargers on primetime again, beating up an undefeated team. Has overreaction line written all over it. Got to be Browns money line.
Okay. I like that we're going different ways on that. Next game, this is my overreaction game. This is where I overreact, okay? New York Giants are 7-point dogs traveling to Dallas. Total on this game is 52.5. That's quite a total. Here's how simple I am. I think the Giants got a little confidence coming off last week. And you know what? Those games they lost, even though they lost to even not very good teams, they were in those games. And they do have horrible coaching, which managed to perform better than our coaching on Sunday as a Saints fan. Dude, I like the Giants getting 7 on the road in Dallas. What's your thoughts on this game?
It's a tough one for sure. And any other year, I would say the Giants with some confidence. But out of pure pettiness and out of spite, I'm going to go Cowboys -7. So this is my emotional pick of the week that I'll make purely for fun. And so I can root against the Giants. I don't plan on winning it. So I think in reality, the Giants are probably the smart pick. But 89% of money, again, on Dallas, 75% of bets on Dallas. So a lot of people on the Cowboys.
Public and the Sharps are on Dallas, right?
Yeah. So it's not, you can't really read into anything there. Offensively and defensively, the teams are actually fairly even statistically speaking. Cowboys obviously have a better offense, but Giants offense is significantly better than the Cowboys defense. So the total is high for that reason. Realistically, I have this game projected as like a 3 or 4, maybe even a 5-point spread, not quite 7. So again, the smart move is the Giants, but I am personally going to be betting the Cowboys. Because the games that I'm most confident in every single week this year have always lost. And this was the one originally I was confident in. So I'm going to fade myself and go with my pettiness and hate against the New York Giants. So the long-winded answer was that. The short-winded answer is Cowboys -7.
I'm with the Giants on this one. Giants getting 7 plus 7. San Francisco traveling to Arizona. Arizona, the newly crowned best team in the league. Is a 5.5-point home favorite against San Francisco, who is just doing San Francisco things. They're just having another San Francisco year, doing San Francisco shit. Jimmy Garoppolo is of questionable injury status already. It's about week five. It's time for that. Total on this game is 49.5. T, you got any strong thoughts on San Fran and Arizona?
Originally, I was pretty confident in the Cardinals. I think I overreacted also, and I don't want to rely on that strategy, but 87% of money is on the Cardinals. 60% of the public side, just overall bets, is on Arizona. Arizona has the advantage on offense and defense, but I feel like this is the one where you kind of have to have Vegas mentality and go Niners. It's like, I think that's the smart play is 49ers plus 5.5 purely for like my, this is like my sharp bet, or I'm just like trying to be against everyone else. I think it's just one of those games where it's going to shock a lot of people.
Division rivalry. The 49ers are not slouches. But, if Trey Lance is playing, this thing could get out of hand.
That's true. We haven't seen him for a full game. So this could be one of those like shocking rookie performances where he goes berserk against a 4-0 team.
I'm not doing a fade T thing here, but I'm feeling better about Arizona 5.5. Because I just don't think that Trey Lance is – he's going to take some time.
His arm doesn't look all that great, I must say. No,
right. There's a bunch that I wasn't too impressed with. But it's very, very young in his career. So I'm going Arizona. T's going San Fran. Next game is Buffalo at Kansas City. All right. This one to me at the book that I use is a perfect example of the house trying to push you – in a specific way. And this is the way or to protect themselves, right? Buffalo is getting 3 points on the road against the can't cover Chiefs. Total on this game is 56.5. The money line, and I haven't brought up a money line on any game yet. The money line on this game is Buffalo money line is +125 at the book where I saw it. And the money line on Kansas City just to win outright is -145. Okay. Now, if you bet the spread and you take Buffalo getting 3 points on the road against Kansas City, there's a 20-point vig on that. That's -120. If you take Kansas City as a 3-point favorite, there is no vig and it's an even money bet. I've been encountering a lot of this.
And what's the result of that? Have you seen it actually correlate to what happens?
Well, no, it's just the way that the house always wins. This is part of 5-bet one unit, you know, -110, one unit -110, one unit even, one unit -135. These that's a 20-point vig for taking Buffalo in 3 points. Like, that's the house trying to push you away from that.
Yeah.
They're trying to discourage you from taking Buffalo. Plain and simple, there's no other way to put it. They don't want you to take Buffalo. They'd rather you not take Buffalo. They'd rather you take Kansas City. Now, many reasons for that at individual books. It could mean that that book has a lot of money already on Buffalo, and they're trying to even things out and drive traffic back to Kansas City. That's the other piece of that pie. That's the other piece of what makes that happen in the world of gambling. This is like our education segment, T. tell the people why Buffalo's -120 on a 3-point spread.
As you mentioned, kind of depends on the book, but 61% of bets nationwide, what have you, are on Buffalo. And I don't know if you've seen it a lot, but I've seen it on a lot of the pick'em sites and a lot of, like, just across social media. Buffalo's getting a lot of hype in this game. It seems like the obvious pick on so many levels, but 55% of the money is on the Chiefs.
It's crazy to me because Buffalo's, other than that week one letdown against Pittsburgh, which I was heavily on Buffalo week one, they've been ass beaters.
Yeah.
They've taken care of everything put in front of them. And they've just kicked ass. I saw a lot of discouraging things in that week one game against Pittsburgh, and I was like, oh shit, man. They don't have a line. They're holding every third play. Da, da, da. They don't run the ball. And all they've done since that game is just win convincingly. Kansas City is in disarray right now. I'm sorry. They are. I feel that they are. And they never fucking cover. Never in these big games, they never cover.
Yeah. I mean, everything points to Buffalo here, and that's why I'm going to go to the Chiefs. Because Buffalo has kind of, in recent years, had trouble with the Chiefs. I don't think they've beaten them since Josh Allen's been up. I feel like this is the Chiefs are actually still pretty good kind of reaction on Monday morning. So
you see these two teams again in January.
Yes, exactly. They're going to hype up. And I think it'll be a good game, and it's tough for me not to take the Bills getting the points when it probably will be close. But I could also see this game being a Chiefs-like, we're not done yet, just blow them out. Buffalo beat up the Texans, and Buffalo beat up some other poor team. I don't remember even who it was, but it was another one of those big shutout games, like 30-something or 40-something.
I like Buffalo. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're good. I knew you were going to say it, so you might as well just fade me all night. It's fine. I don't even know why you had me on this podcast.
I don't know. Well, I think this is good, though. Just so glad this is happening. I don't even want to fucking talk about Indy and Baltimore. But that leaves one game that we skipped earlier, which is the game that you and I are probably going to have the most interest in this week, and that is our beloved New Orleans Saints traveling to the District of Columbia to take on Washington football team. Washington is getting 2 points at home. They're a 2-point home underdog to the Saints. The total on this game is 44.5. Washington football team's injury report today had a lot of names on it. A lot of guys didn't practice. A lot of receivers didn't practice. The Saints have, as proven last week against the Giants, your top, you know, two of your top three receivers or top four receivers can be out. Doesn't fucking matter. We got something for you. You'll still pass for 400 yards against us. T-Man, I am going so far away. I have no gambling advice on this game. I have no read on this game. I have no idea what's going to happen with the Saints. I don't know if we're going to beat Washington football team on the road. And maybe I'll be excited and happy if we do. But I don't think anything's guaranteed there. The Saints is a 2-point favorite. Total on the game is 44.5. So Vegas still thinks this is going to be a moderately low scoring game. What are your thoughts, man? I got nothing for it.
I wish the Saints were underdogs in this game. 2-0 this year straight up when they are underdogs. 0-2 in their favorites. So I don't like the fact that they're a favorite in any way, especially on the road. Washington's pass defense, the worst in the league. Does Sean Payton give Jameis more trust now that they've had this whole thing, even though it's only been 3 days into the week? I feel like it's been 2 months since they played the Giants. I don't bet on the Saints pretty much because I'm afraid that as I start uncovering trends and doing research on it, I'm going to see things I don't like from a fan standpoint, not a gambling standpoint. And I don't like to go in with any preconceptions, just going in there rooting. That being said, I think if I were an unbiased fan, I'd probably take the football team here. If I were not a fan of either one of these teams, I think that's the smart play as a home dog against a pretty much unproven team. Just gave up a lot of yards to the Giants, who were up until last week anemic on offense again, for the most part. They were calling Jason Garrett the least creative play caller in the league, and then he drops 450 yards on the Saints secondary.
That nice one play drive against us at a crucial point in the fourth quarter.
That's all I could think of. But he's the little swing wheel route to Saquon up the sideline. I was like, that looks pretty damn creative to me. So I don't know if he was just saving it all up just to spite us, but
yeah, we were their Super Bowl. He heard I was going to be there. He said, fuck this. Just go balls to the wall, guys. I don't know. Do you think the Saints are going to win? I know you're not betting on the game, but I just want to, what do you think the score is going to be on this game?
I don't know. I thought last week it was going to be 45-0 Saints, but you always have kind of these like imaginary game plans. You think the game's going to go, like, you know, how Sean Payton, he'll script his plays going into start of the game and a half. I feel like I do that with like what I think the game's going to be like.
I'm glad it's not just me. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have sort of all these like more or less daydreams about all the possible scenarios that could happen. And I mean, the last time I could think of when the Saints were in Washington or in Landover, Maryland, wherever the FedEx field is, what that I can actually remember was the Robert Meacham pick strip six.
Yeah, that was a crazy game.
And I feel like with, again, how this year's going, I feel like something strange is going to happen here. Like Taysom Hill's going to throw a deep ball that gets picked, and then Deontay Harris is going to strip the ball.
I might start yelling F words if that fucking happens again. I'm over that, dude.
Is this a Sean Payton being too smart for his own good?
That's exactly. Sean Payton is being cute. He's guilty of this. This is – took my daughter to the game. In pregame, we got in the dome 55 minutes before the game starts. Paid a lot of attention to Aldrick Rosas. It's clear he was getting cut. You know a guy's a legend when, like, we're watching all the players stretch and do their pregame thing, and Sean Payton is walking around kind of talking to the guys, and I tell my daughter, look, there's Coach Payton. Giants fans weren't going, oh, look, kids, there's Joe Judge. You know, Panthers fans don't go, oh, look, there's Matt Rhule. Look, there's Matt Rhule. Payton's a legend, okay? And that's undeniable. But he is still, it's a fucking arrogance almost, but he's earned it that he gets too cute.
Yeah, it's, been it's irked. I'll use the word irk. It has irked me. Not enough to make me upset, but just enough to like when you every third down under 3 and 4, you see Taysom Hill start trotting out and you get so pissed every time, or at least I do. And then when he gets
Jameis is a normal human with normal emotions, he's got to be defeated when he sees that.
It happened all the time, even when Breeze was here and when Breeze was playing still okay at that point. Breeze would lead him on an 8-play, 78-yard drive. Then they get down to the red zone and be like, oh, no, let's take our Hall of Fame quarterback out for the undrafted Mormon converted quarterback to do the most important play of the drive.
And Mr. Media personality extraordinaire Drew Breeze cannot tell you the truth about that until Taysom is no longer in the league.
Yeah, he won't.
He's too upright.
Yeah. I mean, Taysom's good for what he does well, and you showed it last week. But I don't understand when Jameis is, 11 of 12 at that point in completions. He's on a roll. He hits that nice deep shot.
He just hit a bomb in the end zone that got called back for a holding.
Right.
And they run the same play with Taysom.
He got his toe stuck in the turf.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're going with. Right. I don't even know if that's protecting your player. Why can't you just say you made a bad decision?
I don't like injuries talked about or explained. I'm on record. I don't like wives going, hey, this is how hurt my husband is right now. I don't like any of it. I don't like coaches talking about injuries. I don't like players talking about injuries. Just fucking shut up. Look what Belichick does. Belichick tries to fucking lie and cheat on injury reports. He knows the importance of that. The greatest coach in the NFL of our time knows the importance of that.
And even last week, Sean Payton, it was 9 minutes left in the clock. They're up 11 with the ball. Does he really expect to run the clock 9 minutes straight without giving it up? I don't know why you don't go for a score there. Run your offense that was clearly working and you're spreading the ball out. Score one more.
They needed three first downs. I don't even think they needed a score. They needed three first downs and then not to give up a one play drive.
Yeah.
Dude. We're going back down that road. I don't want to do it. I don't know. I mean, I don't.
It feels
I'd hate to see Taylor Heinicke beat the Saints. I'd hate to see Taylor Heinicke beat the Saints.
And he's been playing well lately. The Saints defense is good. I think they got tired last week.
They get tired.
And I'm really waiting for my true reaction on the season until after the bye week. When you see the full complete team, it's going to be much different than it is now. But it feels very 2014, 2015 right now.
It
like
does.
This back and forth, win every other game, have looked really good and then look really bad.
On the main pod this week, we called it yo-yo. They're yo-yoing, you know.
Yeah, and that's what Sean Payton put in every player's locker last week to prevent.
Right, a yo-yo. Here, folks, here's how you yo-yo. Pay attention. That's what you're going to do as a team.
Yeah,
they mistook the message. They said, oh, we're supposed to yo-yo.
Yes.
We're supposed to yo-yo. Dude, we talked about the Saints that long to say neither one of us have a fucking clue what's going to happen, nor are we willing to put our money with it. But I do want to thank you for coming on the show. I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for being my friend. Very early on in our friendship, bro, you hooked me up with some free tickets that you won on some kind of Twitter raffle. For Pelicans Lakers, that was awesome. You know, I mean, I can't wait till you come down to some Saints games and we get to hang out. You should come to Nashville. I don't know if you've got Nashville on your itinerary for a road game for the Saints this year, but there's going to be a bunch of us in Nashville this year. You should definitely, if you haven't already, consider that. It's November 14th or so. T, you have anything that we haven't gotten to? Did you want to make sure that we talk about?
We got nothing. I think we spoke long enough on all the important topics and provided you with top-notch gambling advice. So if you listen to Billy or myself, one of you is going to be right.
Right. You've got a 50-50 chance with either one of us.
And the benefit of that is either way, when someone asks you, how did you win so much money this week? You say, I heard it on Taking the Over.
Should do this every week. We should pick every game and just take a different side. I still like the Ouija board idea.
Well,
but I'm afraid to have a Ouija board in my house.
Yeah, that's instant. I don't know if you're familiar with the Warrens.
Yes. Yeah.
They are a Connecticut staple.
The museum
is still here. Yeah. There's some pretty creepy areas in New England. I won't get into that, but you may have to hire them if you get a Ouija board.
Yeah,
even though they're dead. But you may summon them.
I don't think I can do it. I'm going to do the Ouija board on YouTube when I get a studio away from my home that I travel to, where I won't have to keep the Ouija board here. T, thank you so much for coming on, man. We had a lot of fun. We talked a lot about gambling. It's always great to have a friend and a knowledgeable gambler on the show. We have a tradition here on Taking the Over. We always end the night by saying good night to all of the beautiful people that listen to the podcast.
Good night to all the beautiful people who listen to the podcast.
And we will see you guys next week. Thank you. Love you. Bye.